Well, the big news this morning, as you've heard reported, Australia joining with the US and the UK in announcing an enhanced national security pact. It's called AUKUS, which will focus on bringing stability to the Indo-Pacific, stability and security. The landmark deal will see Australia making a shift to nuclear-powered submarines, which is a major break for Australian policy. Peter Van Onselen is political editor with Channel 10 and a columnist with The Australian. Peter, hello there.
Good morning, Fran.
Scott Morrison and Joe Biden both at pains this morning to stress these submarines will be nuclear powered but not nuclear armed. Nevertheless, this is a significant shift, I think, for Australia. Shadow Cabinet meets as we speak. Labor senior cabinet members met yesterday. Is this only going to fly politically if there's a bipartisan support? What do you think?
Well, I think it definitely needs to be bipartisan. The politics of this requires that, but I can't see Labor getting in the road of this at a leadership level. I can certainly see sections of Labor's left being concerned, and crossbenchers will raise concerns. Some already have, obviously. The Greens will certainly weigh in that direction. But the Labor leadership with Anthony Albanese, he of course originates from the left, but as well as Penny Wong and Christina Keneally and obviously Richard Miles as well, who's had a strong interest in this sphere of policy, I can't see them letting this become a wedge issue by disagreeing with it, particularly given that it is already announced and it's already incorporated, you know, such significant players as the US and the UK. It would have been nice, obviously, if Joe Biden had remembered our Prime Minister's name, but nonetheless, a significant announcement.
That fella down under. it puts Australia right in the sort of centre of the defence of the stability and security in the Indo-Pacific, and puts the weights on us, I suppose, if the priority is being to make sure Australia's submarine fleet is nuclear armed. Our government has signed up for this. Are we prepared for the inevitable blowback from Beijing?
I don't know if we quite realise just how much this puts a target on our back. You know, there are economic consequences and we're so reliant on Beijing and China for that. But even just militarily, I know that they're not going to be nuclear submarines in terms of nuclear capacity, just nuclear powered. However, having said that, you need nuclear powered submarines to stay underwater for a long time. You want to stay underwater for a long time so you can have strategic assets in place with first strike capability. You don't need nuclear weapons for that first strike capability, but you do need weapons. The fact that Australia now is doing this, will do this rather than the United States, it puts a target on us, I think, as far as China is concerned. And these sort of long-term implications are something that are profound. Even if you think this is a good broader idea, you know, at the individual level, if Adelaide is where these get built, if Perth is where these get serviced, those cities have targets on their back, frankly, as far as China is concerned. It is a significant thing to have happen, and therefore I think that the weightiness of this needs to be understood, even if there's politics around it as well.
Well, it's a commitment that's been made, signed by our government, so they're going to have to manage the politics of this. And, of course, as we've seen with all our submarine commissions, it takes a long time before these submarines will actually be there and running in the water. On Christian Porter, Peter, the Prime Minister's sought formal advice from his department on whether this blind trust that the Minister revealed earlier in the week to help pay his legal fees is in breach of ministerial standards. Does he need really to seek that guidance? Surely on the face of it, it is in breach of the standards, isn't it?
Look, I guess at one level he wants to go through the process of seeking it and also buying himself time. But to answer your question, absolutely, this would have to be regarded as in breach of ministerial standards. If it's not, what kind of Pandora's box does it open up? It might be technically within the rules for MPs. That's certainly what Christian Porter thinks. But for ministers, no way. And it doesn't pass the pub test. It's a bad look, particularly for a former Attorney General. If this doesn't result in him either resigning or getting sacked, that will surprise me greatly, and it will be hugely disappointing for the sake of transparency as well as accountability. He simply has to go one way or the other from the ministry. There's no doubt about that.
Christian Porter made this public declaration on his parliamentary declaration of interest. Do you think when he made that declaration, even though he said he had no way of knowing how this trust worked, he would have known what was coming?
Well, I can't see how he wouldn't have. I mean, I guess it depends on whether this was flagged beforehand, you know, with the Prime Minister and others in terms of what he was planning to do and whether he felt that he had either an explicit or an implicit understanding that it was reasonable and acceptable. But that of itself,
well, if it was
would
flagged
be problematic.
Beforehand, that's an even bigger problem because
I agree.
But others in the government didn't see this issue.
At worst, it means that they're complicit. At best, it means that they're ignorant of their own rules and didn't actually understand the magnitude of what was happening. Either way, though, this is something that, you know, is not, cannot be allowed to stand. We've got wider issues when it comes to the whole issue of political donations and accountability and transparency. There's no federal ICAC, you name it. But this, at a very simple level, Malcolm Turnbull is right when he says that if this is allowed to stand, it's akin to somebody turning up in a balaclava and dropping off cash in a Hessian bag. It's absolutely ridiculous. He has to go on. You know, that's just the reality of it.
Well, cash in paper bags, of course, has not been unknown in politics, state and federal. Peter, thank you very much.
Good to chat.
Peter Van Onselen, Professor of Politics at Griffith University and the Uni of WA.